John Newton was born in 1725 in London. From an early age, he found himself at sea as a sailor. Eventually, later in life, he becomes a ship captain and captains several different ships, including slave ships. Early in his time at sea, in the year 1748, he experienced the nightmare of a severe storm just off the coast of Ireland. Things were so desperate that the ship almost sank. Newton talks of waking in the middle of the night to see the ship filling with water. And so in his fright and in his despair, he calls out to God. Miraculously, the cargo in the ship shifts. It blocks the hole. Water stops coming in, and the ship is able to drift safely to a place where they can be rescued. John Newton marked that experience as the beginning of a long journey, of a conversion, of an experience that led him eventually to becoming a Christian. And in fact, in 1764, he was ordained priest in the Church of England. And then over time, he became an ardent abolitionist. 34 years after retiring from the slave trade, he published a pamphlet called Thoughts Upon the Slave Trade. And in this pamphlet, he is honest about the horrors of slave trading and of the experience on slave ships. And in that, he apologized for coming to his position of abolition so late. He said, and I quote, "I apologize for a confession which comes too late. It will always be a subject of humiliating reflection to me that I was once an active instrument in a business at which my heart now shudders." He repented from that previous behavior, sent this pamphlet on to members of Parliament, distributed it to the public, and it was very popular. It sold well, it was reprinted. And then in the year 1779, he published a hymn. He wrote many hymns, actually. And he published a hymn which was entitled Faith's Review and Expectation. I should say, as a hymn writer, he was the one who wrote the texts. The text of this hymn, Faith's Review and Expectation, may be familiar, at least stanza one. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." It became a very popular hymn, and especially in North America, remains a popular hymn. And it's often associated with funerals. It's a very popular request at a funeral. But the reality is John Newton was actually talking about his conversion experience of being lost, of living a life where he was not following God's intention and will for him, of being lost and yet being found, of coming into God's truth, being found and claimed by God, and even of being blind, yet coming to see. Blindness can be literal. It can be one's eyes do not work and you can't see the physical world. But blindness can also be a figurative state, being unable to see, though our eyes work, what is around us, to understand truths, to comprehend, to see the large picture. And in our gospel, we have that situation of blindness, though Bartimaeus, the man in the gospel, is literally blind. He's unable to see the physical world around him. Now, it is unusual in a healing account to know the name of the person being healed. We might hear the son or daughter of, or hear of a relationship to someone with a name. But this story is different. Bartimaeus is named. We know who he is. And we also know that he is not only blind, he's also poor. He's a beggar. And so he sits beside the way as Jesus passes by. Now you notice we hear Jericho mentioned at the beginning. They've come to Jericho, Jesus and his disciples, and now they're leaving Jericho. And that's significant because if you read ahead in Mark's gospel, the next place they will be is Jerusalem. They're just a few miles away. So Jesus is continuing his movement towards Jerusalem, where he will be killed and raised on the third day. The next account is that of Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into that city. So here's Bartimaeus, who happens to be on that road as Jesus and the disciples pass by. And he, unlike others in Mark's gospel, does not approach Jesus directly. He doesn't go running up to him. But when he is told that Jesus is passing, he calls out to him. He causes a stir, and people don't like that. They tell him to be quiet. Don't make a scene. Mark is using Bartimaeus, this blind man, this beggar, to show true discipleship. This is the conclusion to a section in Mark on teaching about what it is to be a disciple. What does it mean to hear that call of Jesus and to follow? And immediately before, we had two particular stories, which you may remember. We've heard them the last two Sundays. Two Sundays ago, we heard about that rich man who has many possessions. He really has lots of land, and land that might be his because his family and he have defrauded the poor. And he wants to inherit eternal life. And then last week we heard about two disciples who go to Jesus and want him to do whatever he asks. And they want seats of honor and glory, one on the right, one on the left. Mark is actually telling us, though, they are all blind. The rich man can't do what Jesus asks. He says, sell your possessions, give the money to the poor, and follow me. And he goes away sad. He can't do what Jesus is asking. The disciples don't understand the way that Jesus is on, that it's leading to the cross. They don't understand his teaching of servanthood. It's not about those positions of power, getting the best seats in the kingdom. But there's Bartimaeus, who understands more than the rich man, who understands more than the disciples. When Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? That same question Jesus asked the disciples when they wanted seats of power. Bartimaeus instead asks for mercy. And then he asks to be able to see again. You see, Bartimaeus knows exactly who he is and what his circumstances are and what he needs. He knows his reality. And he knows who Jesus is, that Jesus has the power to heal him. And he responds in a dramatic way. He casts off his cloak, that only possession that he has. He gives it all up and runs after Jesus. And after he is healed, he follows Jesus, unlike the blind man, unlike the disciples who don't understand. It's interesting that this, as I say, healing story is different than others. Jesus often says, don't tell anyone after he heals a person, and they go away. But in this story, Bartimaeus is not told to be silent, and he is allowed to follow. And I think that's because Bartimaeus has sight. Bartimaeus understands Jesus. And so Bartimaeus, after being healed, goes on the way with Jesus and the disciples, presumably going on to Jerusalem. This story of the healing of Bartimaeus is our call, I think, to have our eyes opened, to see the way that Jesus calls us to walk, what it means to be a disciple. We're called to be healed of blindness of the world around us, those ways that we miss what is around us. We're blind, called to not be blind to people like Bartimaeus, to those who live at the margins, who can be invisible in our culture. We're called to not be blind to the injustices of this world, to the ways that people are oppressed. And we're called to not be blind to the vision that God has for us and for this world. That vision of the kingdom of God, which we hear some of in Jeremiah, we hear throughout Scripture, of the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, the poor being satisfied, and the powerful being cast down. We are being called to have our eyes opened and to see as God sees, to see the kingdom of God and make it real in this world. And we're called to not be blind to the call of Jesus, blind to what it means to be a disciple, to not accept this world as it is and says, well, what can I do? It's the way things are. But instead, we're to follow Jesus in loving servanthood and called to make justice for all, that all will know that reality of God's kingdom. Yesterday, I was so pleased to hear from Grace Swinsky that several of you went to Camp Street Ministries. You can talk to her about it. I wasn't there. But she shared some of the experience and talked about how several of you went to Camp Street and met the staff there, saw what they do, how they serve those in our neighborhood, how you met some people who come to Camp Street Ministries, some of our own neighbors, and I suspect people we might not otherwise meet. For there's a way in which those who have need in our society can be kept at the margins, can be hidden away, can be invisible, and we might not get to know them, to meet them. That certainly was the assumption in Bartimaeus' world. The crowds try to silence him. Who's he? He's a blind beggar. What's he making a fuss for? Keep him invisible. But the gospel today challenges us, especially those of us who are not poor, to not be so quick in our judgments, to not assume that those at the margins can't show us something about the love of God, to not forget that those who may be invisible but to our society are beloved children of God, and that those folks at the margins, the ones we may not be quick to notice, might actually tell us what it means and how we are to be a disciple of Jesus, especially when we've lost our way, when we are blind. Mark, throughout this section of the gospel, talks about the great reversal. The first will be last, the last will be first. And the story of Bartimaeus shows us this reality, that the one who is poor and blind understands more about the kingdom of God than others, more than that rich man who, by the standards of the world, is the place to be. He's the one you want to be like, but he doesn't understand the kingdom of God. Bartimaeus understands more than the disciples, those who are closest to Jesus and ought to know who he is and what his mission and ministry is. This is that reversal of Mark, where the one who's the outsider knows more about God and about the call of Jesus than others. Now, the good news is that Mark's gospel ends with a hopeful note, with that promise that ultimately all will see. For it ends with the story of the resurrection and the empty tomb, with that young man sitting in the tomb. And when the disciples go, he says, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." In and through the power of the resurrection, all will come to see Jesus as he is, and all will see the fullness of God's kingdom. Until that day, let us come before Jesus, the one who asks us, "What do you want me to do for you?" May we ask to be healed of whatever blindness we have, to be healed from whatever keeps us from leaping up and following Jesus on the way, that we might come to know the fullness of life that God has in store for each of us, for all who follow, and for all of this world. Amen.